Okay. I'll say over things we've said in the past. Zoom. The Pasha starts off by he mikates shnesayim yomim ufarei chayim v'inu emid al hayor. By he mikates shnesayim yomim. How many years was Yosef in prison, in the dungeon, in the bar in Mitzrayim? How many years?
3 years.
Why three?
2 years. Shnesayim means 2 years. And it was 1 year before. Oh.
So he was 12 years in the prison.
Close.
12 years. 10 years plus an extra 2 years.
Because of Hashem.
Because of Sahamashkin, he said, Zechatani, don't forget me. He was an extra 2 years. It's a very nice Balaturim, the first Balaturim in the parasha. By him, Miketz, it says Miketz here, and it says by Avraham Avinu, Miketz Eseshonim. After he and Sarah went to Eretz Yisrael for 10 years, and Sarah didn't have any children, so at the end of 10 years, Sarah says she's an Akara, and she suggested taking Hagar as a wife. Just like over there, Miketz means after 10 years. Hitzus is Balaturim, Miketz means after 10 years. Shnasayim is another two. Yosef was in prison in Mitzrayim for a total of 12 years. Punked at the end of the 12 years, Paray has his dreams, and all of a sudden, everything starts moving very fast. 12 years, everything goes very slowly, nothing happens. Yosef is sitting in the bar. At the end of the 12 years, everything starts moving. So I know we mentioned this many times, but it has to be said over and over again. Beis HaLevi, the beginning of the parasha, is worthwhile to see inside. Beis HaLevi explains that everything that happens in life is a siba and is a mesayviv. There's a cause and there's an effect. That
makes sense.
And we have to look at it with the proper eyes, in a proper order. If you look at the parasha and you ask a child learning the parasha, what happened first, what happened next? I'll tell you. I know the story. Paray had a dream, he woke up, he had another dream, and as a result of his dreams, and the Chatumim couldn't explain what it meant, and the Sahamashkin reminds Paray, nah, Eved Ivrid, it was a Jewish Eved in the bar with me. Yosef ends up being rescued and released from
king,
the bar.
King of the world.
What came first? Paray's dream. What was the result? Yosef being freed. Yeah. It's based on Levi, wrong. That's a totally wrong way of looking at it. It's just the opposite. Because it was time for Yosef to be freed, Mamela Paray had to have his dream, and the wheels were set in motion, and Yosef was freed. But first came the fact that Yosef was set to be freed. Mamela Paray had his dream. So the Beis HaLevi, compared to a merchant, somebody goes out, and he makes a good sale, and he makes a lot of money. He makes a good deal. So if you ask people what happened, they'll tell you, well, he went out, he made a good deal, and because he made a good deal, he became rich. So they said, Pum Fakert. Because in Shemayim they were geyser, that he was supposed to become rich, Memeigo, he made a good business deal at that time. You have to know which is first, which is second, which is the Sibo, which is the Mesayviv, the cause and the effect. I know he said the story over many times, but it brings a good laugh, and it illustrates the point very well. You'll remember the story as soon as I start, but I think it fits in very, very nicely. There were two Russian generals traveling on the train. And each one had his medals on his uniform, and each one was trying to outdo the other one, how he's a better general, he fought in more wars, he had more soldiers in his command, and so on. The kids, they pull into the train pulls into the station, and both generals get off. It turns out that there was a musician playing music on the platform. And one general says to the other, ah, you see, they're playing music in honor of me. They knew that I was coming, they're playing music. The other general says, ah, nah, he says, fool what you are. For you, they're playing music because I'm here. They heard I was coming. And they get into a whole argument, who the musician is playing music for. There's a yid standing nearby, and he's watching the whole argument take place. And they see the yid standing on the side, and they say, let's ask him. Looks like he's part of the station. He's staying here. Let's ask him who the music is for. So they say to the yid, can you help us out? We're having an argument. Is the music in honor of me? Was the music in honor of my friend? And the yid says, well, if you want to know the answer, you know, how much is it worth to you? So one says, of course, give you 50 rubles. Make a deal, each general will give him 50 rubles if he tells them in honor of whom the music is playing. And the yid smiles and he says, first I'll take the 50 rubles. They pay him up.
100.
And he's 100, 50 apiece, they pay him up, And the Yid says, I'll tell you the truth. They're not playing the music for you, and they're not playing the music for you. They're playing the music for me. Because I need money to go and buy food for, Pesach was called, you need money to buy food, and they're playing the music in honor of me. Okay. Again, why things happen. On the surface, it looks one way, and open your eyes, things look a little bit, different.
When we read in the paper,
and how many times do you think, you look back, every time something happens, a Yid is a maimon has to ask himself, why? What can I learn from it? Ramila's Atzal used to always say, when something happened, what does it teach us? What can we learn from it? Is it a lesson for us? What lesson can we take out of it? Nowadays, the world moves so fast. Current events is so fast. The news changes. I guess the news travels much faster now than it used to travel. Things coming out so fast. What does it teach us? What can I learn from it? Everything that happens is a lesson for us. What's the sibah? What's the mesayva? The more a person looks, the more a person is likely to see the Yad Hashem. The pasuk tells us, "Vayishkach Paroi, vayikras Yosef, vayritzuhu min abar." Perek Memal of pasuk Yudalid, right by Sheni, the pasuk tells us that after the Saramashkim tells Paroi about the Nar Ivri that's in the bar, we had a dream. He interpreted us. Pasuk Yudalid, right by Sheni, vayishkach Paroi. He calls Yosef, they vayritzuhu. A question of running, they rush him out of the bar, quickly give him a shave, a haircut, they change his clothing, and before a blink of an eye, Yosef is standing in front of Paroi. Vayiritzu. The Sepharna in this pasuk, I read it inside, says very powerful words. Vayiritzuhu min abar, kederech kol tshuas Hashem, shenaseis kamoi rega. Like the derech of all the tshuas of Hashem, Hashem's yeshuas, come in an instant, come in a second. Ka'amra, like it says, Kikroiva Yeshuasi Lava, my Yeshua is close lovely to come. Yeshua comes in an instant. 5 minutes ago, Yosef had no idea that the Yeshua was on the way. Suddenly, Yeshua is here. Ucha Amra, it says in Tehillim, Lu Ami Shemeli. If we'd listen to Hashem, we'd be Zeichet to the Gula right away. And so it was Mitzrayim. Kigarshu mi Mitzrayim. At the end, the Yidin were chased out of Mitzrayim. They were there 210 years. They couldn't leave. Slowly prepared, they will rush there at the end. When this man comes to leave, the Yeshua comes, it comes very fast. They didn't have time to let the dough rise. When the Yeshua comes, it comes. And so will be lost at Lava, it says in Malachi, Upisoim Yavoy Alechali Ha'adon. Suddenly you'll come to the Heichal, you'll come, Mashiach will come to the base of Mikdash, the Gula will come suddenly. Vayiritzuhu, they rushed him out. As soon as the time came, Vayiritzuhu. And the Chavetz Chaim, as well known, said, why was it Vayiritzuhu? Because that was the exact second that Yosef was supposed to be saved. And therefore, Yosef couldn't wait a second longer. Vayiritzuhu. Everything had to happen so fast, because once this man comes, the Gula comes right then and there, so fast. And so will be when Mashiach comes as well, the Gula will come suddenly. As much as we try to prepare, try to be aware, but when it's this man will come and the Gula will be here in the blink of an eye, and a person has to be prepared. Well known, the Chavetz Chaim lived with Mashiach on his mind, that when he heard a tumult in the street, he would already grab his special coat that he had and his hat and run out. Where is he? Where's Mashiach? Because to him, to the Chavetz Chaim, as soon as it was a tumult, what else could it be? It had to be the Mashiach. The Mashiach was here. The Gula will come. Ki Kerov Yeshua Asi Lavoi. Vayiritzu will come with a Ritza as soon as the time is up, there comes a Gula. There's an Aruch Chaim, beginning of the parasha, who learns a very interesting pshat, what happened in Paroi's dreams. The pasuk tells us, Vayhimi keitz shnesayim yomim, ufarei chaylim, Paroi had a dream, vayhini oimeid al hayor. When did Paroi have his dream? At the end of the 2 years, at the end of the 12 years, yeah. it was a time for Yosef to be saved, Paroi has his dream. Paroi had a dream once. One night, he had a dream about the cows. He fell back asleep. He has a dream about the seven storks. And Yosef tells him the whole interpretation. He says, the Aruch Chaim question in the first pasuk. It's possible, he says, the pshat, Shinasayim yomim ufarei chaylim. Betmidus chaylim zeh. Paroi had this dream constantly. 12 years straight. Paroi had this dream every night. Well, 2 years, Shinasayim Yomim, 2 years. He had this dream. Shinasayim Yomim, for 2 years, Betmidus, Paroi had this dream. Elo shlehoyo yodeya shecholam. But he didn't know. He didn't even remember the morning that he had a dream that it bothered him. Ulusayf shenasayim, poked at the end of the 2 years, cholam, he had the dream, but this time, v'lo shochach, he didn't forget. This time, it was time for the wheels to be set in motion, for Yosef to be freed, he didn't forget. For 2 years straight, Pare had this dream every single night. He woke up in the morning, he forgot everything. Poked the night, it's time for Yosef to go free, the same thing that's been happening for 2 years happened again, and this time he didn't forget. Same idea. When the time comes for the gula comes. A lot of times, the wheels are set in motion, it's there, it's waiting, the gula's waiting, and as soon as the time comes, the gula will come. Very interesting, Rachayim HaKashimot Peshat in the Pasuk. See it inside, in the first Pasuk, that Pari had the dream of Tamidus. For 2 years straight, he had the dream every single night, but he forgot until the last night, he remembered, and the wheel was set in motion, and the gula came about.
That's very nice with Lazachar.
Twice. Those are the 2 years, really. That's the two years, right?
Dream,
oh, good. Good. So you could, the Archimedes doesn't develop it, but you could go a little further and say that because Yosef had said it, he wasn't Zaycha to Pari to remember the dream until the end of the two years. But it's quite an interesting shot. The Pasuk tells us afterwards, Pari tells Yosef the dreams. And Yosef gives him advice. And Yosef tells him the dreams are the 7 years of Seiva, the 7 years of Rov, and so on. And Perik Mem Aleph, Pasuk Lamites, the Pasuk tells us, Paroi is quite happy with Yosef's interpretation. After all, Rashi tells us that Chatumim told Paroi interpretations. He would have 7 daughters, he would bury 7 daughters, he built 7 cities, they'd be destroyed. And Pari didn't accept those interpretations. When he hears Yosef's interpretation, he accepts it. When we find somebody who has a Ruach Elokim, after Hashem made this known to you, a novoin v'chocham kamecha, there's nobody smarter than you. I know we said this over, but it's a lesson that applies over and over again. Acher hedio kim oischas kol zois. It seems that Pari acknowledges Hashem. Pari says, acher hedio kim, he acknowledges Hashem. Yet we know, later on, Pari refuses to even acknowledge Hashem. Mi Hashem Eshma Bekailoi. We find that Pari denies Hashem's existence.
Different Pari.
Okay, fine.
There's also a different shame.
Good. And here Pari says, Ach, is Maida, that Hashem runs the world. Hashem made this known to you, the dreams, and so on. So the Reb Chaim Brisker will tell over the story that happened with him to illustrate this point. There was a big veer in town, Brisk. And he owned merchandise, and he used to have ships transferring his merchandise across the seas, across the ocean. One day, they come to B'chaim Brisk, and they tell him that this gevir, had ships transferring his merchandise across the sea, and all the ships sunk. All the ships sunk, and he's wiped out. There's nothing left, all his merchandise is gone. And they said to B'chaim Brisk, we don't know how to break the news to him. You got a Rav?
It's your job.
Go ahead and break the news gently to him that all the ships are sunk in the ocean. Chaim Brisker goes to this Gevir's house, comes in, and says to the Gevir, I need your advice. Can you help me out? Gevir says, sure, what can I do for you? And Chaim says to him, tell me, there's a person I know, he's a lot of chizik. He's a lot of chizik. This person owned a lot of property, and part of it was destroyed. Part of it was lost. How should I be mechazik him? You're a gevir. You're in the parasha. I'm not a gevir. You know what it feels like to have a lot of money. How should I be mechazik such a person? So the gevir says, oh, you're telling about emuna mitochin. Maybe you're going to go to chavis halavavis with him. About emuna mitochin. Shara mitochin. And this way you'll calm him down and gently break the news to him. Chaim says, it's good. But let's say it wasn't half his property. He was totally wiped out. All his property was destroyed. What should I tell them? How should I break the news to him? Oh, for that, is the Gevir, that's really, it's very hard. But another Perik Chai V'Salavavis, say a few Prokim to him, give a shmooze about a moon and bitachin, and everything will be fine. Reb Chaim says, I'm sorry to break the news to you, but all the ships that you had, they all sunk. The Gevir hears that, he faints. He faints, falls down, he faints on the floor. Finally, they revive him, comes back, and he's aware of what happened. And finally, Reb Chaim asks him later on, he says, why'd you faint? You just told me right before that if such a situation happens to somebody, be mechazikim, amunah b'tochen, chavis ravavus, prochem t'ilim, and suddenly everything you said to me, you forgot? Everything you said to me is forgotten? And the Gevir says, when it's for Yenim, it's very good.
Yeah.
But when it happens to a person himself, it's a different parasha. It's a whole different story. When you're talking about Yenim, it's one story. When you're talking about yourself, it's a different parasha. It's true, we all know that. A person has a munah b'tochen, when you hear somebody else has a tzara, it'll be good, mechazik. If chazik shom a person has a tzara, it's not the same. We all know that's the way people are, that's the way we are. Parai, when he hears, here, a good etzah, to save Mitzrayim, that we 7 years of plenty of food, everything Hashem does is working. It's a good agenda for Parai. Fine, Hashem let you know. I agree, Hashem runs the world. Suddenly, later on, Parai, the Yidden, are his slaves, let the Yidden go. Here Hashem's telling me to do what I don't want to hear. Hashem's telling me to let the Yidden go. Me Hashem, who's Hashem, Hashem b'kayloi, that I should listen to him. When things go good, a person has sort of one level. When a person, his things aren't going the way he wants, a person is on a different level. Okay, but Maisa, it's, we all know it's true. We all know it's true. A person with a real Baal B'tochen, real, is the same when things are good, things are bad, he has the same Emunah B'tochen. It's an Nisayan for all of us. It's not for now, but if you have a chance over Shabbos, you can take out Rabbeinu B'chai in the Parasha, and he has a Hagdoma to every Parasha, and the Hagdoma to Parashas Mikates, he discusses the Emunah B'tochen, 8 different levels, very interesting introduction to the Parasha, on the Emunah of B'tochen. It's worthwhile, if you have a chance to go through it, the Oscar Makros Gedolus has Rabbeinu B'chai printed in it, and you can look at the Hagdoma, it's a nice, long Friday night, it's a nice homework to do over Shabbos. Took a Rabbeinu B'chai in the Hagdamah to the parasha. Yosef tells Paroi, I should have said this earlier. Yosef tells Paroi in Perik Malach Pasuk Amad Gimel, V'ata Yerev Paroi Ish Novoi V'Chacham. Paroi should appoint understanding a Chacham. Rabbi Lapian asks a question that should bother everybody. You need a Chacham. What did Yosef tell Paroi to appoint? You need an organizer. Someone who's a good, who can organize and collect the food in the 7 good years to preserve it for the 7 years of hunger. You need a chacham, somebody smart, somebody who can be chadish. That's what you need. You don't need a chacham to go ahead and save the wheat for the good, for the years of hunger. You need somebody who has good organizing skills. He can get people together. He can go ahead and run the department to gather the food. A chacham? Why do you need a chacham for? You need somebody who can organize the food drive and gather food to put away for the 7 hungry years. Says Rabbi Elul Yapinyan, beautiful. He says, you're right. You're right. On the surface, you needed somebody who could organize. But wait a minute. There was a hunger coming. When there's a hunger coming, you need to save everything that you can. You have to prepare for a hunger. A chacham. Who's a chacham? Harayas HaNayat. One who sees the future. A chacham is somebody who understands what the future will bring. And since he understands what the future will bring, he'll make sure that in these 7 years, when the opportunity exists to gather the tefillah, to save it, he'll save everything that he can. If he's not a chacham, and a bushel of wheat falls off here, they drop some kernels here, they drop some stalks here, he'll leave it. What do we need it for? We have so much. A chacham is somebody who understands, don't look only at what's now. Look at the future as well. Chacham is Reyes HaNayat. And if you look at the future, you'll see that there's going to be a hunger. There won't be any food at all. Every last penny, every last drop counts. So Yosef said, you have to appoint a Chacham, someone who understands that it's not enough just to gather food. But he has to gather whatever he possibly can. Save every last drop. Don't leave anything over. don't let anything fall by the side, because in the hunger, they'll need whatever they have. Mitzrayim will need. It won't be only Mitzrayim. It will affect the whole world all around us as well. The other countries will come to buy from us. We need food. So don't let anything go. That's the job of a chacham. Someone who understands that it's not just what you have now, but it's Reyes HaNayland. One who sees the future, every drop counts. I just saw a story today. Doesn't fit in 100%, but I'd like to bring out the point anyway. There was a bachar who was going back, who was going away from yeshiva and going back home in Europe. And he made up his mind on the way back, he would take a detour. He would stop off in Rabin to see the Chavetz Chaim. He wanted to go see the Chavetz Chaim on his way home. And he made up his mind that he would see the Chavetz Chaim. And he prepared, he made a whole list of questions that he had to ask the Chavetz Chaim. And he had a whole list of questions, and he wanted a bracha, and he came with a whole tzepto prepared to speak to the Chavetz Chaim. Comes into Radin, the train came in very late at night, and he goes off the train, and is a little bit lost. It's dark, he doesn't know exactly where to go. He meets a yid, who also was on the train. The yid says, listen, obviously you're a guest. I live here in Radin. Come stay by me tonight. And what are you here for? I'm here to see the Chavetz Chaim. Good. And tomorrow you can go see the Chavetz Chaim. But tonight, stay by me. He says, fine. Baruch Hashem. He takes his whatever luggage he had with him. And he goes to this man's house. He comes into the house. It's already late at night. Gives him a bite to eat. And he realizes he didn't daven Maariv yet. Baruch realizes he didn't daven Maariv yet. And of course, the halacha is that one should not go to sleep before davening Maariv, like the Mara says in Brachas. Maybe Chot Vashino, the sleep will grab a hold of him, will sleep through the night, or Mitzvah Kriya Shema, and he won't say Shema, he won't daven Maariv. No, the Bachar is there. I'm too tired. Chamish Kein Chaychas. I can't daven Maariv. But supposed to daven Maariv, you know, the Yetzer Hara, and he has a little battle, the Yetzer Hara wins. Just 10 minutes. I'll put down my head for 10 minutes, I'll get up and I'll daven Maariv. He puts his head down, and the next thing he knows, the sun is shining when he wakes up, he missed davening Maariv. Okay, woke up in the morning, and he was so excited by seeing the Chavetz Chaim, he forgot that he hadn't davened Maariv, and he quickly runs to daven Shachris, and he goes to the house of Chavetz Chaim. He waits to see the Chavetz Chaim, he has his whole letter, his whole tzedakah ready, all his kashis, and his request, whatever he wants from the Chavetz Chaim, and finally, he goes in. Chavetz Chaim says to him, you know, Amol, when I grew up in the times of the Tsar, if we saw a copper penny, a copper coin lying on the street, people would walk by, wouldn't always pick it up. Because people had money, and a copper coin didn't mean too much. They would pass it by on the street. But now times changed, and now people don't have as much. And now if a person sees a copper coin lying on the street, they'll run and they'll pick it up, because every little bit counts. He says to the Bacha, Amol, if a person forgot to daven Maariv, no, we could be Meicha, we could overlook it. Because there was so much Kedusha in the world. But in today's generation, where there's not that much Kedusha in the world, there's so much Kfira in the world, every little drop counts. And even a Maariv is so important to daven, Chas v'Shalom, to overlook a Maariv. But the Bacha heard that, he didn't have an answer. He forgot all his questions that he came to ask. He forgot about the paper that he had. And he accepted what the Chavetz Chaim said, and he left. Okay. But the point is that a lot of times we think the little mitzvah that we do, the little bit that we do isn't worth much. Yeah, I'm late anyway. Does it really matter if I learn for the 5 minutes? I'm late anyway. I missed Baruch Hu, whatever it might be. Doesn't matter. In today's generation, everything matters. Every little copper coin, everything matters that a person sees, every little bit of kedusha that a person grabs onto, helps. And fakir, it's not only for us. Klal Yisrael, Zar Raven, Zel Lazer, we're all connected, we're all responsible one for the other. Just Chanukah, this week. It's Chanukah, come to Shabbos Chanukah, just say over the Rashi brings down Shabbos, I think it's Afchof Gimel on the days, Rashi brings down, the Gemara says, the one who's rogel to light Neirois is Zaychit to Bonim from Midi Chachamim. And Rashi says, which Neiros? Neiros of Shabbos and Neiros Chanukah. Neiros Chanukah is also a school for Bonim Talmidei Chachamim, like Neiros of Shabbos. We know that one is not supposed to use the Neiros. We like the Shabbos for that reason. One is not supposed to have Hanof in the Neiros. the Rif and the Ran bring down, that when a person lights the menorah, it's doimer to the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And just like the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not going to have Hanoah from the lights, so too the menorah of Chanukah is doimer to the similar to the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, and one is not going to have Hanoah from the, one is not going to have any Hanoah from the light of the menorah. There's a minig to eat milchik's chol of milchdeker food on Chanukah, cheese, because the Yehudis who had gone ahead and killed the general by feeding him cheese, milk, he fell asleep and she killed him. So minig to milk cholov. The Ben Ishchai finds a beautiful remez in the word cholov, milk. We know the Avonim Chazal tell us what mevatel three mitzvahs. Which three mitzvahs? Chodesh, Shabbos, Migla. The mitzvah of Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh, the mitzvah of Shabbos, and the mitzvah of Bris Migla. Says the Ben Ishchai, if you take the word cholov, it's a remez to all three mitzvahs. Ches is chaydish. Shabbos, the second letter is a beis, is the beis of cholov, is the second letter of Shabbos. And the lamed is migla, is the third letter in migla. So you have ches is cholov, the beis is the second letter of Shabbos, and the lamed is the third letter of migla. A remez to the three mitzvahs the Yevonim wanted to be mevatel us from, are hinted to in the word cholov, another reason why we eat cholov on, while we eat cholov on Chanukah. I'll just say over the story I said over last year, we all know the Beis Yosef's Kasha, why we have 8 days of Chanukah, Chayr the Nes is only 7 days, because they had enough oil to burn for one day, so the Nes of the oil burning was only a 7 day Nes, not an 8 day Nes, why is Chanukah 8 days? Hundreds of Terutzim are given on the Kasha. The Klametz HaMincha says over a little story to explain. And probably as soon as I start the story, it will sound familiar, because he said it over in the past. There was a wealthy man traveling in a wagon. He had 10 sacks of gold coins. And he's traveling with his wagon, and robbers come, and they stop the wagon, and they rob him of his sacks of gold coins. Somehow they missed one sack. One sack was under the bench. They missed it. They took only 9 sacks, and 1 sack of gold coins was left behind. Nope. As soon as the robbery is over and the Kvir recovers his shock from being robbed, he calls in for the police, the soldiers. They look around. They can't find the robbers. He doesn't know what to do. Finally, he decides he has to take matters into his own hands. He hires a few soldiers. He tells them, listen, I have gold coins. There are 9 sacks of gold coins. For each sack of gold coins, different versions of the story. Either he hired the soldiers, or he made a nether. Or he made a nether. I like that story better. He made a nether to Hashem that if they catch the robber, he's going to give 10 gold coins from each sack to Tzedakah. He'll give 10 gold coins from each sack to Tzedakah if they catch the robbers. The Gabbai Tzedakah hears that. He says, remember, if they catch the robbers, you have to give your Meiser. You have to give your 10 gold coins from each sack. The police go out. The soldiers go out. They search. They look. They catch the robbers. They recover the 9 sacks of gold coins. As soon as they bring back the gold coins, the Gabbai Tzedakah shows up, he knocks on the door, and he says, no, time to pay up. You promised 10 coins from each sack.
Yeah.
So the Gevir takes the 9 sacks, he takes 10 coins from each sack, 10, 20, 90 gold coins, he gives it to the Gabbai, here you are. The Gabbai says, 1 minute, what about the last sack? There's a 10th sack there also. The Gevir says, a 10th sack? I don't have to give him a 10th sack. The robbers only took 9. The robbers didn't take number 10.
Didn't take it.
Oh, no. No. So here, I have to, if you could erase what I said before, you can't, obviously, but if you could erase what I said before, I have to go back. I ran ahead of myself too much. Before he caught the robbers, he had to hire soldiers to go catch the robbers. So from the 10th sack of gold coins that he had, he hired the soldiers to go and run after the robbers. Now the Gabbai says to him, Hezachsul, your own miser from number 10 as well. The Gevir says, no, I don't. They only took 9. The Gabbai says, well, Rabbi Yid, if they would have taken number 10, then he wouldn't have had the money in the first place to go hire the soldiers to go recover the other 9. It's only because you had the 10th, you were able to cover. So number 10 is part of the the nes, the miracle as well, because only because number 10 was left behind, the robbers forgot it, missed it, were you able to recover the other 9. If you wouldn't have had number 10, you wouldn't have been able to hire the soldiers to bring back number 9. Therefore, you owe Maisa from number 10 as well. So it's coming to Mincha. That's mamish what happened. You're right. The nes was only 7 days. But the Pach HaShemen itself, finding the Pach HaShemen was a nes. If it wouldn't have found the Pach HaShemen, the oil wouldn't have burned for the extra 7 days. So it's true it burnt 1 day naturally by itself. But the Pach HaShemen itself, finding that is a nes, and that's part of the nes Chanukah, and therefore we have the, and therefore we have the 8 days. I apologize for not saying it over, correctly, but, that's what happens when you try to remember without looking at it from 1 year to the next. Okay, a lesson you have to chazer over. Even the stories you have to chazer over. Okay. We should have taka lich the Chanukah. They say the Shabbos Chanukah is the Shabbos Chanukah is the shines bright. Chanukah is the bright in the middle of the dark days of the winter. The light shines bright. Chanukah is the Shabbos is the bright day of Chanukah, shining bright. Today the sugo for tshuva, Shabbos Chanukah, shtak ol bizaycha. Kishem. Hashem the Nisim Rav Asinu B'Yom Mehem, which B'Zaycha the Nisim Mizman Hazeh, which B'Zaycha Tzegulu, Mashiach Sekeim Heir B'Meinu. Amen.
Amen.